To live without God and to live without hope is depression. When you feel like there's no way out, there's no way up, that is depression. And so I sank into a really dark place because I wasn't praying anymore. I wasn't going to church where anyone could encourage me. I was not reading the Bible. I just lost all my faith and I had no one to encourage me.
Welcome to the Daily Authors Podcast, a daily podcast all about books and the authors who gave them life. Each episode, your host interviews a new brilliant author as they reveal inside information about their incredible books and inspiring lives. Now, here's your host, Aaron Gendel.
Hey, Aaron Gendel here. I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for listening to the Daily Authors Podcast. It means so, so much to me. And maybe you've been thinking about writing a book of your own. And if so, do not wait. The world is hurting and needs your help. It needs your book. I would love to help you on your journey to write your book. So simply email me at aaron@dailyauthors.com and I'd love to hear about your book idea. Now enjoy the show.
All right. Thanks again, Madison, for joining me on the Daily Authors Podcast. So excited today to talk to you about your book, Stop Making Me Cry, A Journey Through Emotional Pain. Thanks again, Madison.
Well, thank you for having me, Aaron. It's great to be here and to meet you and to be able to talk about this today.
Awesome. Well, thanks again. Well, Madison, before we start talking about your book, Stop Making Me Cry, if you wouldn't mind just telling us a little bit more about yourself and your work and what you've got going on right now.
Well, I'm a mother of three beautiful children. I'm involved with volunteering and playing guitar and singing and helping abused women.
Awesome. Sounds like you're helping a lot of people, Madison. Would you tell us a little bit more about your book, Stop Making Me Cry, just what inspired you to write it, and maybe give us the high-level overview of the book?
All right. I was in an abusive marriage. I was married to a narcissistic, very controlling, very manipulative man who abused me and my children in every way possible. He abused us emotionally, mentally, physically, financially, spiritually, sexually, verbally, and it was just hell at times to live with him. And we were married for 13 years. And then I left him in 2016. Only by the grace of God was I able to get me and my three children away from him safely. And then at that time, I began to think that it's possible that I could write a book. Once I realized that there was no returning to him, I started telling my story. And so then writing the book became a reality.
Amazing. Wow, what a story. Would you mind maybe diving into a particular section or chapter of the book that stands out or that might interest the listeners today?
Well, I just know that there are a lot of other women who go through what I have been through. Some of the things that I know a lot of other people go through is being in an abusive relationship with someone, they are often impulsive and they, you know, make you do things that you wouldn't normally want to do. They're very manipulative, taking the things that you've told them in confidence and then using it against you to hurt you. And so there's all kinds of examples like that in the book where he would hurt me. And I'll just tell you, for example, we moved 9 times throughout our marriage. And he was isolating me more and more from my family. And then it became to where he didn't want to be around our family. And then eventually he didn't want me to be around my family or his family. And then it eventually became where he didn't want me to be on Facebook or making phone calls and was just wanting me to cut family and friends out of my life. And we moved states away from my family, and it just felt like I was so alone and so isolated. And it reached a point where eventually I lost my faith in God because he not only abused me in every way possible, but he also took away my hope to believe in God, and he mocked me when I would pray or talk to my kids about God or tell even Bible stories or even listen to Christian music. He didn't want that. He didn't allow that to happen.
Wow.
And so how was I supposed to survive and have hope and not fall into depression? You know, to live without God and to live without hope is depression. When you feel like there's no way out, there's no way up, that is depression. And so I sank into a really dark place because I wasn't praying anymore. I wasn't going to church where anyone could encourage me. I was not reading the Bible. I just lost all my faith and I had no one to encourage me. And so the great side to that is that once I left him, my faith in God was restored again, and I am now free to have a relationship with God, and so are my kids. And so God has done a great restoration and healing in our heart. And I believe that if it hadn't been for the prayers of my family at that very dark time, that that was what God used to get me out, because I wasn't praying for myself. But it was the prayers of those who loved me that got me out.
Wow, what a story. Was there a particular, I guess, points and what allowed you to get out of the situation, I guess? I'm curious to know.
Well, I left him without a plan. It just happened one day when he went out of town and I had been feeling sick and the children had been sick. And at that time, we were living in Arizona. We were living in a motorhome. We didn't have a house. And we had bought a small piece of property. And I was working a job. Matter of fact, I had two jobs. He did not have a job. And he was more interested in smoking marijuana. And so this particular day, we had some grant money come in for college, some financial aid that came into my bank account. He used a portion of that money to take a trip to Colorado to buy marijuana. And I had told him I was not okay with that. I did not agree with it. I told him he needed to be working, and he didn't. He just did what he wanted to do. So he told me that while he was gone, I was to clean up the RV, add gas to it, go shopping, get a whole list of things done when I said I would do it. And so while he was out of town, I talked to the children and they told me about how he had been beating them and controlling them. And they said, it's been so bad that when I come home from work, I'm seeing him being nice. And here I thought I was seeing him being mean. And I was not even seeing the worst of him.
Wow.
They had been keeping it hidden. They weren't allowed to tell me what he was doing. And that was the first chance they had to tell me what had really been going on while I'm at work. He had been making them do disgusting, gross things. And once I realized that, my children felt horrible. They felt they were worthless. They were never going to be good enough for him. My one son felt like killing himself. He wanted to either just die or just run away. I knew I had to do something. And so I talked to a lawyer that afternoon and I told him the story of how my life had been, how my husband had been isolating us more and more, how he had been physically beating the children and how controlling he had been, how he wouldn't work a job and all this stuff. And he advised me to leave him and take off and go see my family that I hadn't seen for years. And so I didn't think I could do it. I was extremely scared. I was shaking. I was crying. Yeah. And he said, you can do this. You're a strong lady. And I thought, no, I'm not. This is the scariest moment of my life. If he finds me, he could kill me.
Wow.
he finds me, he's not going to be okay with me leaving. He's going to stop me. And here I am driving a 30-foot RV through in this small town. He could have found me. And I knew he was coming back. He was coming back that afternoon. We had planned when he was going to meet us at home again. And that time was up. And the lawyer told me I needed to go get an order of protection and leave town right away. My ex-husband told me he would meet me back at our land at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, by 5 o'clock, I was in town getting that order of protection at the court. And I didn't actually end up leaving town until 6 o'clock. And so I was scared to death that he was in town looking for us.
Wow.
And I was driving an RV that was wrecked. I didn't have tail light. I didn't even have a driver's side mirror. But I drove until it got dark, and then I legally was not allowed to drive anymore. And then I pulled over and just, we hugged. I hugged the kids. I tried to comfort them, and we were all scared. We could hardly sleep that night. That was the beginning of our journey to see my parents.
Wow.
And my family that I hadn't seen for 4 years. Excuse me if I get emotional, but after 5 days of traveling, we finally had a reunion with my family after not seeing them for 4 years. So that was a really wonderful part.
Wow.
And then that was the first time that I told my family what had been going on, and they did not know to what extent we had been abused, because we had not talked about it. We had kept it hidden. We had defended him because that's what he told us to do, you know?
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story, Madison. It's quite incredible. And I'm so happy for you and your family for getting out of that situation. And
yeah,
I wanted to ask, I guess, if there was anybody else in that situation listening to this now, what would you want to say to them?
I would say to any person who is in a situation where they feel trapped, where they feel disrespected or mistreated or abused, that there is a way out. You are not hopeless. And you can't necessarily wait for someone to rescue you. You have to get out yourself. You have to recognize that the way you are being treated is not okay, and you need to call the police or get a friend or just get away any way you can, even if you can't take anything with you. Save yourself, save your kids, and press forward in the life that God has for you. You are not alone. There are other people who have been through what you've been through, who've made it, and you have to make the decision that's right for you. You have to fight for your own heart, your own mind, your own sanity. He's going to make you feel like you're crazy, like you're the one who's stupid and can't do anything, like you can't live without him and no one's ever going to love you. Those are all lies. You are capable. You are strong enough. You can do it. You have to believe in yourself. And I just want you to know that there is healing, there is restoration in God. After I left my husband, I found that God was my main source for comfort, for peace, for joy, for feeling fulfillment and living my purpose. My source is all God. I could not have reached as much healing as I did without him. And so you can try to make it on your own without him, but if you want true peace and joy, I say you need God.
Thank you, Madison. Appreciate that encouragement. Really came from the heart, and I can tell, and I appreciate you sharing all your stories with us today, and your incredible story of hope, for sure.
Yeah, there definitely is hope. I definitely know the feeling of feeling trapped and depressed and desperate. And there is a way out. There is a way out.
Awesome. Well, I wanted to ask a little bit more about the book writing process, because I think it's quite incredible to have gone from, you know, what you've just described to then say, hey, I can do this. I can write a book. So I know a lot of people without, you know, everybody's got different experiences in their lives and maybe things that might keep them from writing a book. But I wondered, for you personally, how did you overcome any fear and doubt that you might have experienced while considering writing a book?
Well, I started out with writing journals, which were very sad. This was a year before I left him, and I was in the very saddest time of my life. And I was writing about it, and I thought, how will I ever do anything with this? What is the point of me writing this stuff unless it's going to be to help somebody? And I didn't take it seriously that I was going to write a book, but it was kind of in the back of my mind, you know? And then one morning, I was in the kitchen making breakfast, and my husband said something hurtful to me. And I replied with, someday I'm going to write a book, and it's going to be called Stop Making Me Cry. And he didn't take me seriously. He thought I was taking a jab at him. But I was holding that in my heart, you know, like, yeah, I am serious, but I'm not going to tell him that. And I ended up never telling him that I wrote a book. But then after I left him, I seriously plunged into writing it. And it was extremely painful to go over all the memories, all the emotions, and relive them all. And sometimes I would just have to stop and cry and take a break. And I know that the process of writing a book is long and arduous, and it's okay to take a break, but it's not okay to quit. There was times that I would get an idea of something I wanted to put in the book, and I would be driving along, so I would just speak into my phone some of my ideas, just so I had them in a note, so I could remind myself when I got in front of my computer to add those ideas in. And so little by little, I did it. And a lot of it was waking up in the night and getting on my computer. And that's when I would get some progress done. But it was a 4-year process of writing. It took about 3 years of writing and then another year of editing and publishing and all that stuff.
Yeah. Well, you stuck with it. That's amazing. Thank you for sharing how you went through the process. I think others could learn from that, and just taking those bite-sized moments, it sounds like, to, and then expanding on that after deciding you wanted to write a book. So that's great stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what would you say has been the very best part of writing a book for you, Madison?
Finishing it. Sharing it with others. And that has really opened the door for letting other people know, I understand. I've been through so much pain, and I'm willing to talk to you about it and let you know that you're not alone. And I understand, you know, a lot of women go through this. And what happens is that it happens in the home when no one else sees how he is being, you know, that he's being a real jerk and everybody else thinks he's nice. You know, that's where he's very deceptive. And that's what I tell women is, I know that it's different at home than it is where everybody else can see it. And that lets them know that I understand, I've been there. So I enjoy the aspect of helping people through this. And, I'm just glad it's done, it's out there, and that it can help people.
Amazing. Yeah, that's the power of books, and I'm sure it will help plenty of people. And thank you for sharing it with me today, Madison. I did want to make sure I didn't forget anything. So if there's anything else you'd like to share, or if there was a question you might have asked yourself if you were in my shoes, what would that be?
I would just say I also have a website, madisonrcarter.com. I'm also on Facebook, Madison R. Carter, and I would love to hear from listeners and reach out and introduce yourself.
Yeah, awesome. Well, you beat me to my very last question, so I appreciate you sharing all your contact information, and yeah, definitely pick up your book to find out the whole story. It sounds like there's a lot more in there and a lot more encouragement and hope. So I encourage everybody to pick up Stop Making Me Cry. I know it's on Amazon.
It's on,
so.
It's on Amazon.
Awesome. All right, Madison. Well, I really appreciate you sharing your story today. It's definitely
thank you for
an encouragement, I think, to anybody else that might be in the situation and to all of us that there is hope no matter what situation you're in. And I feel that way after hearing your story as well.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity.
You're welcome, Madison. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Daily Authors Podcast. Be sure to visit dailyauthors.com to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic bonus content.